Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise hymn number 52, How Lovely Is Thy Dwelling Place. 52. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we gather for worship, we're conscious of the great privilege of being in the presence of the God of all the ages, the Creator of all that exists. You are the God who came into human life in the person of Jesus Christ. You are the God whose power and presence we know through the Holy Spirit. Blessed be our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, forever. Lord, we call upon you for the cleansing and purifying of our life. Take away all that ought not to be in our life. Forgive us the wrong which has been done by our waywardness and failure. Strengthen us to meet the temptations of the way. Guide us in our daily life so that we live as responsible members of your church and worthily represent our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hymn number 181, For the Beauty of the Earth, 181. Thank you. God's word in the Old Testament, the book of Ruth, chapter 2, at verse 1. Ruth, chapter 2, at verse 1. Now, Naomi and a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" The foreman replied, "She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar. When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. And in the New Testament, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, at verse 1. Matthew chapter 7, at verse 1. "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged, and with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces." And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 146, "From All That Dwell Below the Skies," 146.
Thank you. The book of Ruth,
chapter 2, at verse 7. She came and has been on her feet with hardly a moment's rest from daybreak till now. Did you ever hear the tale of the young man who had three girlfriends and asked his mother to help him decide which of the three he should seek to marry? Now there's a right old-fashioned tale, if ever there was one. It would be a strange young man nowadays who would ask his mother's help with that sort of problem. And even if he did, many a mother would refuse to accept a short leet in the first place, never mind cast her vote for one of the candidates. But anyway, it's an old tale, and this is how it goes. His mother said, "Ask them all here for supper." So he asked them to come for supper, and like well-behaved, dutiful young ladies, they all came. Now, the lad's mother had a plan, and the plan was that she gave them cheese for supper. This was a long time ago, you understand. Cheese was cheese in those days. None of your pre-cut, wrapped and labelled stuff like nowadays. It had a rind on it, and it was served at the table with the rind still on. This was the test, you see. One of the three girlfriends ate the cheese with the rind on. She wouldn't do for a wife because she was dirty. Another cut the rind off. She wouldn't do either because she was extravagant. The girl who emerged as winner in the engagement stakes was the one who scraped the rind off. She was thrifty. The way a future wife is selected. Well, I suppose ways have changed throughout the ages. Ruth's first encounter with her future husband was when she was busy in the field. Boaz came out to see how his reapers were getting on and asked who the girl was. He was told she was a Moabite girl who'd come back with Naomi and that she'd been on her feet all day with hardly a moment's respite. So the first thing he got to know about his future wife was that she was not afraid of hard work. Not a bad recommendation that, is it, in any age? Ruth was not afraid of hard work. She'd been going gleaning after the reapers, picking up the stray pieces of grain which they in their reaping had left behind. It was a back-breaking job, as anyone can tell you who's ever been to the tatty picking, for example. But Ruth stuck gamely to the task. She'd been on her feet with hardly a moment's rest from daybreak. And she had not just sneaked along to see what she could snatch for herself. She'd asked permission. She'd gone about it the right way. And having been given permission, she'd done her gleaning with commendable energy and enthusiasm. That seems to have been typical of Ruth. She was, so we're told, a girl of Moab, a foreigner who'd come back to the land of Israel with Naomi, her mother-in-law, when her husband had died. Yes, Ruth had been married already and had been left a young, childless widow. Naomi had said, "You don't need to come back with me. Stay in your own country and maybe you'll get yourself another husband. There's no hope of me ever having another son for you to marry." But Ruth had felt that it was her duty to stay with Naomi and go with her wherever she went. "Your people shall be my people," she said, "and your God, my God." Devoted, faithful, hard-working. Those were the outstanding qualities of Ruth the Moabitess. And in due time, she became a good wife to Boaz and was blessed with a family after all. It's a lovely story, the story of Ruth. It's worthwhile to read it right through. We didn't have time to do that today, but it's only four chapters. Doesn't take a long time. The story of Ruth is included in the Bible because it's felt to be of some significance, especially when it comes to tracing the family tree of Jesus. The Jewish people were proud of their pure Jewish ancestry, but here was a woman of a foreign country, of Moab, who took her place in the family tree, so that the lineage was not as absolutely purely Jewish as it might have been. On the face of it, it doesn't seem that this is a very significant incident. A Moabite girl married a Hebrew and so took her place in the lineage of his family. But Ruth was actually being involved in a very significant family indeed. Ruth and Boaz had a son called Obed. He, in turn, had a son called Jesse. Jesse became the father of David. And by another unusual turn of events, David became the second king of Israel. When the first king, Saul, was deemed unworthy, and so the Lord decreed that the succession should pass out of his family. So it was that Ruth stood in David's line, away far back, and Jesus was born of David's line, away further on. The Saviour, born of David's line in Royal David's city. Royal David had for his great-grandmother a Moabite woman who had endeared herself to people through her loyalty and devotion and through her willingness to undertake hard work and get on with it without complaining. It's fascinating to look at family trees and trace people's descent as far back as it can be traced. Some people get really involved with it. Some people make it the occasion of a pilgrimage to Scotland to see if they can trace the origins of their Scottish ancestry. If we delve into that kind of thing, of course, we always run the risk of turning up some shady part of our own past, some skeleton in the cupboard. Maybe something a great deal more disgraceful than a great-grandmother who was foreign and had been married before. So it is encouraging to find that when Ruth came on the scene, she was accepted for what she was, devoted and loyal and hard-working. The other factors in her case didn't seem to detract from that. Boaz was impressed with what he learned of her. He showed his appreciation first by helping her in her gleaning and eventually by making her his wife. The kind of people we are matters more in the sight of God than the nation we belong to or the colour of our skin or who our parents and grandparents were. The kind of people we are, the kind of qualities we display, those are the things which count. When we read about Ruth being on her feet all day with hardly a moment's rest, we may be reminded of some of the times that we work for the church. Hard slogging to get the job done. A coffee morning, a sale of work, maybe some more large scale and even more demanding event in the church's life. We do our bit, we work our fingers to the bone. Sometimes it seems hardly worth it. People take no notice, or the results are zero or negligible. But it doesn't do to be too short-sighted in looking for recognition or results. Ruth certainly didn't realize that by showing her loyalty and putting her best into her work, she didn't realize that she was playing her part in preparing for the coming of the Savior of the world. The immediate reward of a sufficiency of food, eventually a husband to take away the blight of being a young widow, a son to free her from the stigma of being childless, maybe those were rewards enough for Ruth, and she looked for nothing beyond that. Be that as it may, the consequences of her zeal and her devotion were very far-reaching, and she did indeed play her part in the coming of the Saviour of the world. Nowadays, when people are involved in doing hard work of one kind or another, sometimes there's a tendency to object if the work is not properly appreciated or properly rewarded. People make a fuss. People take the huff. People go on strike. Resentment creeps in. So in those circumstances, it's good for us to realize the value of loyalty and hard work. Those were the marks of one who played her part in preparing the way for the coming of the Savior of the world. But not only that, the Savior himself gives his blessing to loyalty and hard work. Who were his first disciples? What kind of men did he choose? Men who were not afraid of hard work. When Jesus physically left the world, he left his cause to the work of 11 surviving disciples, ordinary men, untrained and unschooled, except for the training they had had in companying with their master through those years of his public ministry, for them the years of preparation. He likewise now depends on you and me. It is a great tradition in which we stand, and it's a great privilege to be counted on and depended on like that. We don't need to see how our humble contribution fits into the complete picture. We just do it. Give it the best we can. Put our everything into it. And whatever measure we deal out to others will be dealt back to us. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Hymn number 457, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, 457.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, the offerings which we present are your own gift. We pray you to bless them for use in the service of your church and kingdom. Keep us conscious of the great cloud of witnesses by whom we are compassed about, and enable us to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and to run with patience the race set before us, so that we may gain the crown of eternal life. Here in the course of our worship, Lord, we turn our thoughts to the evidence of your goodness and mercy. We thank you that all through our life you have blessed us and taken care of us. We are thankful for all the ways in which you bless us, for the material benefits of life, the basic necessities of food and drink and clothing and shelter, the world of nature, the changing seasons, the resources and possibilities of the world in which we live. We thank you too for the deeper things of life, for love and friendship, for noble qualities and worthwhile achievements. Above all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, and for the privilege of belonging to the fellowship of his church. Help us continually to show our thankfulness by serving you with all our powers. We pray for the church in all the world. Help those who serve you in the work of the church to be faithful and to persevere, to come through trial and difficulty, and to make your love known in the world. We pray for those in positions of authority and leadership that they may have your spirit to guide them in all they do. Bless and help those who are ill or in difficult circumstances. Help them to use faith and to know that you are near. We ask your blessing, Lord, on those dearest to our hearts, that you may keep them safe. Eternal God, we pray you to keep us mindful of the wonderful fellowship of which we are part, the worshipping people of yesteryear and today and ages yet to come. Bind us together in the bonds of your love and bring us to your eternal kingdom through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. We hope, friends, that you are remembering about and looking forward to the lunch in the church hall today, immediately after this service. This is a good opportunity to mix socially with others in the congregation and to support the worthwhile charity of 500 miles at the same time. So lunch in the hall after this service. I don't know what the weather's like at this precise moment, but it may be that we'll prefer to escape through that way instead of going out by the main door. We'll see about that as we go along. Our closing hymn at this service now is 490, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. 490. Thank you. may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, this day and forevermore.